Today's guest has quietly shaped some of the most influential voices in leadership and storytelling today. It's not just through his books and his framework, but through how he lives, mentors, and leads. He has been behind the scenes of a lot of global leadership movements and helped launch businesses across continents, and his building of frameworks like the Five Voices and the 100X Leader are now used by Fortune 500 executive teams and a lot of fast-growing startups. And then there's these stories, you know, the one about the Russian mob boss and the business negotiation and the one where he was pronounced dead after a brutal car crash in Mexico only to come back to life. And hopefully we'll get to those. But more than that drama, those moments shaped Jeremy Kubitschek on how he sees leadership as influence and trust and transformation. Today, we're going to be talking about his new book, The Voice-Driven Leader, and the upcoming Five Voices 2025 event, and how he equips leaders, coaches, consultants to build businesses that actually scale. So, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Jim, I'm telling you, those are good. That's just like, wow, I'm interested. Who is this guy? I want to hear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I kind of did the tease a little bit with the, the mob boss and the car crash. Can you talk a little bit about that and what came out of that? How did that change you? Give me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I'd always wanted to travel. My grandmother took me to Europe whenever I was in high school. And so I had this professor at my university, and he basically challenged me, and he took me to Asia for a term, and then I got to see the world. And then he came up with this idea, and this was in 1992 time frame, and the Soviet Union was just falling apart, and it was just this opportunity. So he planted this picture of like, what if we could use business as a platform for good? And what if we moved into, what if we started a business in Moscow? And so we did. We moved there in May of 1993, partnered with the former Communist Party chief of the school systems to transform schooling. And we built the first private school in Russia called the Moscow Economic School. And it is now the largest private school. And it's been very successful. And during that time, though, we moved into this apartment. And this apartment had three levels. And we had the second and third floor. And we had teachers and business, my partners. And we lived right above a mafia group and an Armenian mafia group. And his name was Andik. And Andik's not around any longer. He had some run-ins with an Azerbaijani mafia group. And so it was just a crazy era. I was there during the Chicago 30s of Russia. And car bombs and mafia and extortion. And we had a client assassinated, things like that. A coup attempt. I was stuck in a coup attempt for 3 days. Those are the things that shaped me. And it kind of shaped the way I saw the world very, very quickly. I was 21 years old, and I got to see things that most 21-year-olds never see.
Wow. That's incredible. And I love the story. I think you wrote about this in the book, Leadership is Dead. Is that where you wrote about it?
Yeah. My first book became a bestseller, Wall Street Journal bestseller, primarily because of the mafia stories, I think. And I even wrote about the car accident as well. But yeah, it was just the idea of like, I was shaping the ideas of liberation and domination. And I was watching, like I was studying, I studied World War II while I was over there from the Russians' perspective, from the Soviet perspective. Fascinating. They were protecting themselves from a crazy Napoleon and a crazy Hitler. So in their mind, they needed a moat, and that was their Iron Curtain. So just fascinating to get the perspective. So I started this journey of like, what does domination look like? What does liberation look like? And what does it mean to, you know, and I really came to the equation. I mean, I came to the end result that liberation is ultimately empowerment. And it's fighting for the highest possible good of people. Domination is control, and it's disempowering people in order to have power to control them to do what is wanted. And it was 2 years of an experiment to like watch and observe, and it shaped really what Giant is about. What I'm doing now, it was shaped by those years in Moscow.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I mean, that support challenge matrix, that's so brilliant. I've showed that, I don't know to how many people, but it's like the penny drops, or it's an aha moment for so many people. I didn't know it came out of all of that, but it's really good stuff. Now, you have a new book coming out, The Voice-Driven Leader, and tell me a little bit about your inspiration to do that book. Why did we need this book when we already got a great book, The Five Voices?
Yeah. So we wrote The Five Voices. So Steve and I wrote it. I wrote the book in 2015. And it's been, again, you had a brilliant podcast with Steve, and it was so fun to listen to and watch. And he did such a good job of going through personality and the voices. The reality, though, is we've always wanted applied leadership learning. We didn't want it just to stop with a personality. We're like, okay, now what? And we have been training people and really apprenticing people on how to do it yourselves, but we've never put it out there. The book, The 100X Leader, was probably a closer version. It was basically saying, this is the leadership tools, this is your personality, but The Voice-Driven Leader is an actual roadmap. And we realized that's what was missing, is that people don't know the roadmap of where are they trying to lead their people to. So we built a roadmap around a development square, and then we made the voices come alive to the degree of, if you know who you are and you know who they are, then you can help them go on the foundational stage, like onboarding, to the immersion stage, to the engagement stage, to the multiplication stage. You can actually have a roadmap. But the nuance and the crazy part about it was we cracked the code, and especially with our Five Voices AI now, you can actually, if you know that you're a pioneer and you've got a nurturer, their nemesis voices, how do I onboard them? What do they need? Not just what do I tend to do? So the idea is do unto others as they would want versus just do unto others as you normally do. And that's what The Voice-Driven Leader is. It is a final chapter. The Five Voices is here. The 100X is in the middle. The Voice-Driven Leader is now, this is the roadmap. If you want to develop people, create a development system inside your organization. So this is the most nerdy leadership book that I've ever been a part of. And this is my favorite book that I've written. And I've written 8 books now. This is my favorite one that I've written.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Can you get it to come out faster? They said October.
It's October. I know.
Come on. This is like, you know, we're in 2025. I need that microwave. I need that
publishers.
Book. Yeah. We'll tease it out there. So one of the subtitles is, I think the subtitle is very powerful. It's how to hear, value, and maximize every voice on your team. Why is it so difficult to do that for most leaders? And what do they risk if they fail to do it?
Okay. So I was just talking to a CEO of a company I've kind of been a confidant to the CEO for a number of years. And he was like, I've got these two directors and they're just not doing what I hoped they would do. And they're not developing their people. And I put them in this role and I'm paying them a lot of money. And it's not working. And I'm like, well, remember, leaders define culture and sub-leaders define subculture. And I'm like, well, have you trained them? Well, I kind of thought they would get it, right? So you haven't developed them to develop others to develop others. And that's the problem in our world. Our world is we hope to hire people who are magical. Like, we'll just find good people. It was get the right people on the bus. That's all it takes. Get them right in the right seat and they're fine. Like, not really. Yeah, you want to get the right people on the bus, but you have to develop them and you have to tell them what you want them to do. It's called expectations. And what typically gets in the way, I always say, it's making the donuts. Making the donuts. I got to make the donuts. It's every morning. It's like, I got an email from a client. We've got a closing. We've got a such and such. So the immediate and urgent gets in the way of development. And in our tech world, everything is so fast that there's an expectation on people that's really not there. People are not as good at apprenticing other people because we've lost the art of apprenticeship. It used to be the thing when you were a stonemason. Hey, I'm going to do it. You watch me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. And then you help me. Now you're going to do it and I'll watch you, or I'll help you. And then you're going to do it and I'll watch you. Like, that was the process of an apprenticeship system. It just doesn't exist anymore. We've lost the art of development. And so that's what happens. And what tends to get in the way is chaos and clients and reports and all the other things. And even these little devices, I don't know if you've ever seen these before.
What is that again?
Yeah. These are distraction machines. And every little thing comes through here. It can be a text from a child to a notification of some random thing from AT&T. And it's like all of it is a distraction that we have us from the process of developing people.
Oh, I love that. You know, I think of it kind of the analogy that I use is you've got a team leader and you say, okay, well, let me just grab this here. Friday night, okay, I've given you a bass player, a drummer, a bassist, and everything else. So Friday night, we're playing 40 songs out of here. Can you be ready? And they look at you like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. But it takes practice. And with that apprenticeship, you've got to think about tuning the instruments. Are you in tune? Are you in time? Are we having harmonies and everything else? And that distraction, I think, keeps us away from developing our skills and communication and building people.
And the idea is, you know, you think about most organizations, and I've started over 30 companies, and they're all around the business model, strategy, capital, and people. So when you think of all of those combinations, if you have a really good strategy, business model, and a really good financial system, but you don't have the people, you don't have anything.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you can also have the funding and the people and no strategy and you're not going anywhere. Or you can have the strategy and the people, but no funding and you're not going anywhere and you have no gas. But the people part, it's like people are an asset if you treat them as such. But if you treat them like a liability, then they'll create a culture that is always hamstringing your growth. So if you want to get really, really good and you want to go far, you have to slow down to speed up. You have to slow down and develop your people, which means you got to know who you are. You have to know who they are. You have to know where they're at on the map. And then you have to know how to get them to the next level so that they're engaged and they're properly contributing, right? They're adding value. And that's this part where it's an art and a science of leadership. But most people read things or think they're leadership gurus because of what they know. But their people will, here's what I'd say. Your people will tell you if you're a leadership guru or not. I can walk into your culture.
I like that.
And they will, depending on how they're operating, will tell me if you know anything about leadership.
That is so good. That is so good. Now, you've laid out a 4-stage development journey in that book. Can you walk me through those stages, maybe highlight where most teams get stuck?
Yep. All right. So the first one is real basic. It's foundations. It's the foundation stage, onboarding. Welcome to Jimco. Glad to have you here, right? So what do people do? Well, it depends on who you are. So a pioneer, Jim, you tell me, what would a pioneer tend to do in the onboarding stage? We'll do a little role playing. What will you tend to do with new employees?
I'm going to direct them. I'm going to solve their problems. I'm going to, paint this huge vision of what they can do. I'm going to tell them to figure it out because I know how to figure it out. I'm going to tell them to get it done. You know, this is what you're hired for.
And so if I'm a pioneer, I'm going to respond to that with like, let's go. Love it. If I'm a guardian, I might have a few more questions. Okay, so what do you mean by this and that? And what do you, and you could either be impatient or you might be patient in the beginning. If I'm a connector, I'm just like, let's go. I love it. Yeah, I'm in, but I'm not clear. If I'm a creative, I have a whole lot of questions. Okay, like, wait, let's slow down now. What is this and how is this and where is this? If I'm a nurturer, I might just play along because I'm afraid to raise my voice. Right. So it's what happens in that onboarding stage, that foundation stage. This is when you are setting the tone. This is when you are creating the culture. This is when you're establishing the cultural norms. This is when values are like, this is what we value. Stay in here and you're awesome. This invisible fence. Outside of that invisible fence, you're going to get buzzed. That's not what we do. This is that opportunity. But if you're a pioneer, probably you're not going to spend a lot of time there typically. And so what happens then, people then get forced immediately to the immersion stage. And the immersion stage is like, okay, now I'm going to do it. Now you help me, because this is what I'm about to give you. And you're going to get immersed into your job and your role. And then this is every personality. And this is why it's so complicated, because you have 5 different personality archetypes with you as a leader. So you have one version of, depending on who they are. Well, in the immersion stage, people are going to operate differently, because in the beginning, when you're in the foundation stage, you have a lot of confidence because you're excited to be there, but you don't have a lot of competence yet, but you don't know that. You're clueless. Yeah. Very quickly, you get thrown into the fire of like, oh, my competence is low. I don't know what I'm doing. This is much harder than I thought. And my confidence shrinks at the same time. So now I'm sitting at low confidence and low competence, and all of a sudden I've got a pioneer who's expecting me to get this and figure it out very quickly. At the bottom of this hill is this thing called the pit of despair. And the pit of despair is where people go and they check in every day and they fake it and they act like they're doing work, but they have no idea. So they go and fake it with other people like, hey, how long you been down here, Jim? Yeah. Who pushed? Yeah, Jim, man, he's a jerk. And that's where the gossip happens. That's where the frustration happens, because they've checked in, they go underground and they fake it till they can make it, but they rarely make it. So what happens then is that pit of despair is called stress behavior.
Yeah.
It's what happens. So now you have different dynamics. So if you're, let's say you have 5 team members, they're all different personalities. So you're a pioneer. You expect them to figure it out. Well, now the connector is usually the first one into the pit of despair. And when they're in the pit of despair, guess what they do? They slander. They are cyber warfare specialists. They complain out loud about the boss, about the person who pushed them in. The nurturer is down there, and they just, it's all self-flagellating. I'm just not good enough. I've done it again. And they demean themselves and they dominate themselves. The creative, they get in there and they might Hulk out, and if they get pushed, and then they Hulk out, and then they get embarrassed. Guardians and pioneers usually don't make it in the pit of despair. Interesting, because they can get around it. But your job as a leader is to make sure that no one gets in the pit of despair, like avoid it at all costs. So that's this first little section. It's so pivotal. We've got to make sure when we get someone onboarded appropriately, and they understand what our expectations are, and we tell them ahead of time, you're going to potentially circle around the pit of despair. Do not go in there. Please let me help you. I want you to get into your engagement side. I want you to get more confident and more competent. So I'm going to help you through this process, but your tendency is going to end up here. And that's the beauty of the map. If you can tell people to watch out for this pothole, they might just do that.
Oh, that's brilliant. Given them the understanding that is there and you don't want to go down there. Sometimes as a leader, as the owner of the company, it's a comfort zone. We want to go down there. We want to complain. You know, that's why I think, you know, in Dale Carnegie's book, his first chapter talks about don't complain, don't criticize, and don't complain.
That's it.
I love it. The book's also very visual and practical. So lots of tools, real world examples. Is there one tool or visual from the book that has had the most impact, one or two tools, on your coaching and leadership?
Yeah, the first one is kind of in the setting the stage, and it's treating the voices as a language. So chapter 3 talks about the voice is like a language. So again, I've traveled all over, lived in lots of places, lived in London, lived in Russia, almost lived in lots of other countries. When I go to Turkey and you get the Turkish tea. And when you greet someone and you're like, merhaba, and you say hello. And then when I speak their language, or if I'm Russian, you know, if I'm in a Russian location, then I'm like, меня зовут Jeremy, да? Ты говоришь по-русски, да? Ты понимаешь? And if they understand Russian, then they'll warm up to you, and then you can speak their language. So the idea is this simple fact that most people aren't effective leaders because they don't understand the language of their employees.
Hmm.
Well, if you'll learn to speak four other languages, five being your own, you're adept at pioneer, but could you learn how to speak connector, how to speak guardian, creative, and nurturer? And knowing that the nurturers and creatives are the quietest voices, so that you learn the language, so now you're adept in speaking personality language. So that is a key component. We try to frame it as such so people understand how important it is. Mm. Literally speak nurturer. And when you do, your influence goes off the chain and your ability to get a team operating effectively is the same. So that's one. The second is the square itself, getting comfortable with the square and to go, this is your development roadmap. Oh my gosh, yeah. And then mapping people. So this is the beautiful part. This is what we're going to be doing at Voices 25. Mm-hmm. So at Voices is all about understanding the different nuance of a voice. And we're going to help you build a development square. Literally, you're going to take your people that you work with and you're going to map and go, huh, I am a this and they are a that. No wonder. Yeah. What do I need to do? Then we just use AI and go, hey, I'm a connector, creative pioneer. I've got a nurturer connector who's about to get into the pit of despair. How do I help her not get there? What do I need to do to be more effective? My AI populates everything. Well, make sure you've done this, this, and this. I'm like, oh, I haven't done that. It's so helpful. So now, because of technology, we have the ability to take the complexities of all of the different iterations of, like, say you're a creative versus another creative, or a creative with a nurturer, or a creative with a connector, all the different variations of leadership around the development square. Well, now we can use AI for that function. Using Five Voices AI, we built our own GPT. It has all of it already in there. So now you can actually leverage that to help you help people turn the corner. So that's the development square, the voices as language, the development square. And then we added a new insight. And so I've been suffering from a summer cold, Jim. Gosh. But the new insight is we figured out that on one end of the spectrum, down at the bottom of the square, which is basically where the immersion stage enters the engagement stage. It gets into the, when you're aware that you're clueless, that's all insecure and insecurity. But what we realize, there's another on the other side, when you've been engaged for a while and you're about to multiply, there's another circle that you could fall into, and that's called the green room. And we realized that that's over-secure. And we've seen leaders that we've led ourselves, they're so insecure, and then they kind of figure it out, and then they get cocky. And it's like, wow, what happened to the insecure, over-secure? Yeah. And they go in and eat the snacks that aren't meant for them. They're not the hero. They're not the one on stage. They're the one to multiply other people. And so we found insecure and there's oversecure. And so in this whole journey of developing people, you've just got to understand where people are and how to get them to the next level without falling into the traps.
Oh, that is so brilliant. I really love that. Thinking about, you know, you're hosting the Five Voices 2025 in Oklahoma City. And for those who have never been to an event like that, can you tell me who that event is designed for?
Yeah, and we're calling it Voices because we're going to be talking about 16 voices, but there's Voices 25. So it's designed for people who lead people or coaches or consultants that lead people who lead people. And so it could be an executive to HR to a team leader, but we're going to be basically doing a 2 days of development. We're going to show you how to build development plans. Steve and I are going to coach you through that process of how to do it, what to do, when to do it. And the whole framework is for you to understand this map and understand the voices. And if you can get the voices and you can get the map and you put them together, you are a world changer. You are in the top 1% of leadership, because most leaders never figure out how to do this. They just go off books, you know. Most people go, yeah, I read a book. I've got the book. And like, yeah, well, so you've understood professional leadership, but there's two other stages. There's relational leadership and there's personal leadership. So a lot of people that I counsel or work with, and they're, again, gurus, they say they're gurus in leadership because they've read a lot or gone to a lot of conferences. I'm like, well, great, you've figured out professional leadership, but do you know how to relate to other people? Mm-hmm. And do you have relational intelligence? And then the most important, can you lead yourself? Because you can't give what you don't possess. And when you don't do it for yourself, you've established hypocrisy. And your influence is shot from the very beginning. So we're going to be walking people how to lead themselves, personal leadership, do relational intelligence, relational leadership, and then professionally, how do you walk out with a development system? And that's what we're going to be doing over 2 days, as well as having a lot of fun. It is a really cool campus environment. We're going to be in downtown Oklahoma City, and great food, great experiences, great drinks, all of it, and great people. That's probably and you know this too, Jim, that the number one thing about Giant is we tend to gather really healthy people. And so most people always are like, these are the best people I've ever been around before. And it's true because they're the most intentional.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that, so I've been to a lot of conferences, you know, I've just been around in a lot of organizations, and it's stunning how healthy and quality the people are in there. And I don't know how you attract them or how you get all those people there, but there are some just wonderful, wonderful people who get plugged into this thing. I mean, it's just really neat people that you get to meet at these. Tell me a little bit about how does the event connect with that core message, the voice-driven leader, and what kind of experience. You talked a little bit about going around and having the dinners and everything else, and I think you have an event planning company too. So this is going to be a big experience for a lot of people. Can you talk to me about that?
Well, I mean, the background is I used to lead Catalyst conferences, LeaderCast, and these were global business. You know, we had like 184,000 people in a simulcast with LeaderCast, and then we would have 15,000 people live. And at Catalyst, and this voices is not what I'm about to tell you, but let me explain a little bit. But one of the things I figured out was like just the experiential part. So we would have 15,000 people, and we'd have a round stage, some of the best leaders at the time, and we would turn all the lights off, and you would just have this anticipation and this excitement. And then we would hear this kind of drum line, and it was like a Japanese drum line that literally had these Japanese drums, and it was spotlight would go on, and people are like, what is this? So I love the experiential aspect. Well, over time, events though were so hard, so expensive. And so I sold out of all of those. And then we got to the point where we realized, you know what, it's one part experience. It's one part the network, and it's one part the content. Mm-hmm. So great content alone is awesome. Great content with great people, awesome. Great content, great people, great experience, amazing. And so what we decided, I was speaking at an event called Main Street, and it's in Columbia, Missouri. And I'm like, if Main Street in Columbia, Missouri, they took the entire town over, and you walk to these different locations. I'm like, if they can do that, we can do it in Oklahoma City, because Oklahoma City is a bigger city than Columbus. But it's safe, it's easy, it's clean, it's new. There's a lot of great things with Oklahoma City. I live here, it's helpful. And so that's what we decided to do. Let's create an experience. So it's a new restaurant, but they turned it into an event center. It's called City and State.
Okay.
And it has all these different locations, and we can meet. So it's not just like a hotel conference area. And our offices are right there. So our breakouts, we're going to meet live in this one venue. And then our breakouts are going to be all different locations that you walk to. And in the hotel, you're walking from the hotel. We want to make it a tennis shoe conference. Like, no Uber, you walk. It's a quarter of a mile, half a mile at most. We want people to walk because we want them to be with other people, enjoy it, get a part of the city. So then in the evenings, we're having an outdoor kind of food trucks, all types of experiences that will happen there. So it's just that kind of environment to make, let's create. And I'm not going to share other details because I want to keep them as surprises, but we have a lot of fun surprises that. And things that are going to be laid out. But it's this, it's a mix of learning. We know how adults learn. You've got to have some potency and some content, and there's humor. There's actual other surprises that are going to be taking place that people are going to be mixed in. And people will be like, what is this? Who are they? This content is so good. So that formula together is really what we're going for and going after.
Yeah. And I think you're going to have a guest speaker there. I've heard rumors that Richard Tater is going to be there.
We have. I can't share too much, Jim. I don't want to share too much.
Got it. So what's one transformational or breakthrough that you've seen within organizations or events or conferences or people that just really stayed with you?
Sorry, you literally cut out. Say it one more time.
I said, so what is one transformation or breakthrough that you've seen in past events that have really stuck with you?
You know, again, I've been to so many and I was a part of so many. A lot of people hang on a lot of words that people say.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for me, it's not about the words. It's almost like, have you heard this phrase? When the student is ready, then the teacher shows up. The teacher will appear, right? I think that's really what it is. It's like, where are you and where are you right now? And what is it that you're needing? And it might be from another participant. And for us, we just like to create the environment so that the learning might happen with a side conversation with Jim. Mm. So if you have the right healthy people, then their people are helping each other. And so it kind of depends on you and where you're at more than the content, more than, you know, the experience, even though those are great and those set the tone. But you've got to be at a point where you're ready to learn. And I think that's what's the most important about events.
Well, I think that's why your events are so well done, is because you have a lot of people that have the mindset of just being a sponge when they're getting there. And I think that comes from, you know, a lot of the great material that you put out through Giant, through your books, through all of the things that you've done, that when people come, they have an expectation that they're going to learn and grow, and they've got that mindset for that. I think that's one of the things that makes your events so powerful. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about coaching tools, building a business. You've helped thousands of coaches and consultants build successful businesses through the Giant platform. How do you connect? How do you see connection between personal growth and business growth of these leaders?
Yeah, I mean, it is so, so important. A lot of people get, you know, and coaching has been a thing for a considerable amount of time, and consulting. But what I would say is it starts with you and your influence. And you and your level of peace. So I have a program that I'm working on. It's called Peace is Power. And it's like, when you're at peace, then you will have power. When you're not at peace, no one wants to spread you. Because people only spend people who are at peace, right? So it's like, at your core, do people want to be around you? At your core, do you have influence? Like, do people have a tendency historically to listen to you? Have people invited you in to help them? If they haven't, then this profession might not be for you. And it might be better for you to be in a different job than But if if you have the influence, if you have wisdom, let's just say, and you're leading yourself, then, and you've got the makings of being humble, and if you're smart, and if you're, you know, you've got the basics of, let's just say, character and chemistry and competency and credibility. If you've got those, then you've got this opportunity to influence people. Well, now you take the Giant content, which is so good and so palatable and very, very sticky. Now you can leverage that. So now you don't have to go create you know, you can add things to it that you want. But if you have this like deep depth of yourself, and then you've got wisdom in content, and then you just follow the systems and processes. We're currently starting to build out groups, helping people through the like 10 benchmarks of a great coach or consultant. And it's really mindset and brand and influence. And then you've got your offerings and you're basically building a business. Well, there's things that you can measure against. What's your funnel? Even to the degree of what's your monthly meeting structure look like? I have this thing that says 10 meetings a month. You have to have 10 meetings a month. And if you aren't having 10 meetings a month, you will not fill it up because it's planting seeds. Get planted, and people need to see you and be consistent for a period of time. So there's a process that goes into it. And we've helped, again, gosh, over 1,000 people do this. But I've got a number who have made it. I mean, the Jessica Rimmers and the Maria Guys and the Mark Herringshaws and the different people that in our world, Dan Fry, Amy Norton, just all of these people who have been, they have what it takes. They have the drive. They have the inner resolve. They've learned how to apply the tools. And now they're building programs and systems and processes and coaching and consulting. And they've built their business based on what they need to earn and want to earn.
Yeah.
But it's hard, and you have to do the hard work to get it, but it definitely works.
Yeah. I think that's wise advice. Now, Giant is filled with a lot of tools, but all of those tools that you've developed, I love the idea of the iconography, because a picture and the neuro pathways and how it registers, you know, there's a lot of psychology behind that. But these tools are wonderful because they're designed that a 13-year-old kid can get them. You could draw them on the dirt they're very, very simple, but I've got my favorites. You have your favorites. What are some of the maybe two or three that are your favorites that you use?
Yeah. Well, so as we were drawing and building these tools, some of them were inspired by other things, but most of them were inspired by our own weakness. Mm-hmm. Mostly it was inspired by me looking at Steve I'm joking. Solving problems for Steve. No, but that's the joke between the two of us. So I'm just watching him and drawing tools of what not to do. But really, they were pain points for even myself, you know, mm-hmm. to go, man, how do I, why do I keep doing this? And what is my, you know, why do I keep struggling with this? That's how most of the tools were built. And so out of personal pain. Well, some of my favorites, though, were in particular, I love the Know Yourself, Lead Yourself. It's what I do on a daily basis. Every day at 5:30, I do an examine and I look in my, and I go, what was I grateful for today? Where was I not at peace today? Where was I off and why? And I find tendencies, and I'm up to 34 tendencies that I found about myself. I know when I do it, why I do it. And I have a little tendency log on Airtable, and I drop in like, gosh, I have a tendency to be defensive. It happened again today. And instead of dominating myself, I liberate myself. So I bring grace and truth. So support and challenge. So I'm like, yep, you did. You got defensive. It was your thing because of this insecurity. And I play detective on myself. I know when I do it. I know what it is. I know when and why I do it. I know what I typically do. And then I work on the consequences and I trade up. And I have this friend named Aaron, and he always makes me defensive. And I've realized that. And so, and why does he provoke me? Because he's a guardian. He's my nemesis voice. He's asking questions that are actually halfway true, but it's the way he says it that wears me out sometimes.
Yeah.
So it makes me feel demeaned or not valued or whatever. So what I've learned to do is I go, instead of me going, oh yeah, well, and getting defensive, I've learned a little hack with Aaron. And now I'm working with other people on this. It's clarification question. I go, okay, you're getting defensive, Jeremy, you're getting defensive. Okay, Aaron, wait, are you saying this? Or are you saying that? He goes, no, I'm saying that. I'm like, yeah, I agree. Oh, we're good. And I move on. I've done it. I was just with him in California. Mm-hmm. And it worked.
I was
like, I had a moment and he said something and it provoked me and prompted me and I did it and I did a trade up And I was like, oh, yeah, he just said it the wrong way.
Oh, that's great.
So it's really an opportunity to know yourself, to lead yourself. It's self-leadership. And it's something that I've been working on diligently for probably 7 years now.
I love that. I love that. What's another one that you use a lot with people?
Well, I use the Peace Index almost daily because the Peace Index gives an indicator. And I'm playing with it now at even deeper levels. I'm mining these tools out, and that's the beauty of them. So the Peace Index is an indicator of where your level of peace is, what's off and why, and what can you control and not control. And I'm putting other frameworks. So sometimes it will take mashing up a framework on top of another framework, and it's like affecting it. So one tool on top of another tool. So you can take vision inside of each one of the circles. What's my vision for my purpose? What's my vision for personal health? What's my vision for? You can take hope. Where's my hope level for my personal health? What's my hope meter? So what's my hope meter for provision? And it creates these learnings and these opportunities that you just he hadn't seen before. Like, oh my goodness. And then it creates great dialogue with family, spouse, coworkers, partners. And so that's what I'm doing. I use our tools daily. Yeah. The change equation, the Peace Index, influence model. I used it this morning already. It was our very, very first tool, by the way, was the influence model that I built in 2007. And it was just, that's the kind of stuff. I built it with Brandon Hutchins, a client of ours. But these are tools that we use, and we probably have 70 something tools. We almost have too many. Yeah. No, the visual tools, the tools are like, the way we say it, Jim, is the tools are like a mirror and mm-hmm. the five voices are like a lens. So if I see you and know you as a pioneer, I'll speak your language. If you know me, you'll see me as a connector.
Mm-hmm.
But then the tools are like a mirror, and mirrors don't judge. Mirrors reflect reality.
Right.
When you do the support challenge mirror, the matrix, it's like a mirror to go, oh my gosh, I'm dominating my son and I'm protecting my daughter. Interesting. And it gives you an opportunity to see the broccoli in your teeth and decide if you want to get it out or not.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah, there's so many tools. I think for sitting down and just communicating with somebody and getting a point across and using a pen and a paper and drawing that out, or, you know, just showing a picture, the communication and the impact and the influence just goes through the roof, and grateful for those tools. How do a lot of these tools, they really combine well with the five voices, and they actually help coaches scale their impact, not just survive as solopreneurs. Can you kind of talk a little bit about, you know, that somebody is coming to you and they're using some of these things for a model or for a coaching model, but they're finding that there's a lot of growth that they're getting out of them.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's like, you want to get good at something, become a teacher.
That's it. And that's what we say. If you think of the lens and think of the mirror, let them do the heavy lifting on you first. So it starts with you. That's the beauty of Giant, is people have personal transformation. They get liberated from their own insecurities first. Then it becomes a testimony to everyone else they work with. Like, oh my gosh, this works. You got to do it. You got to try it. The five voices change. For instance, the five voices completely change the way my wife and I parent our kids. We think they are today who they are because of the five voices and about seven tools. And our response to that and our desire to know ourselves and lead ourselves. So that's a great testimony. So if you understand that you have to start with yourself, then you move to others, versus what most people do is start with others first. Hey, Jim, you know what? You know what you need? You need to read this book. And they're like, well, you haven't seemed to have read it. Why do you want me to read it? So it's like, if I am working on myself, that's why I work on myself so much. Because if I'm leading or the founder of this organization and I have broccoli stems out of my teeth everywhere, then you're like, this guy? Well, I mean, you can't give what you don't possess. So I have to give daily, literally daily self-leadership.
Yeah, That's so good. Yeah, it's so funny. The leader that hands out Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and he just gives it away. And he's like, you need to read this. You need to read this. You need to read this. And I've been in situations like, wait a minute, have you read that book?
Absolutely.
The coaches, there's a lot of coaches who will listen to this. And I fell in love with Giant because of the scalability impact and getting, you know, the tools are just powerful. There's a lot of coaching materials out there. A lot of people, there's a lot of great stuff out there. But if somebody wanted to get involved with Giant and learn more about it, what's the best way they could do that?
Well, let's do this. Put in your show notes, put in your link.
Okay.
Put in your link, Jim, so that they can explore certification.
Okay.
And get certified. It starts with certification. You've got to know the five voices. And it's really, really good and really deep, and you'll go through it for yourself, but it will change you. It will affect you dramatically. So get ready for it if you're out there listening to this. But yeah. From there, you get into our operating system, and you start seeing the tools, and you start understanding how to help people know their voice. And then you can learn how to use our leader academies or our Five Voices for Teams program or altitude training or operating system where we use Five Voices AI in the development square. So then you can start learning how to actually build this and turn it into a business. So if I'm you, Jim, I'm like, give them your link. And if you want to experience what Jim has experienced, then explore it. We have videos to talk about it. You can talk to someone if you wanted to. And then you can even reach out to Jim as well. As for me, I speak. So I'll go around the country and speak. So it's jeremykubicek.com. My name is hard to spell. So maybe again, you can put those in the show notes. It's an IE, not a Y. So a lot of people like, that's a weird way to spell it. Thank you, Mom.
That's good.
But that is, so I get to go around and speak to companies, associations, organizations, all on this subject, but I bring a lot of passion and a lot of practicality because I've been living this stuff for so long. And so I love helping team leaders figure it out. I love helping executives build systems where their people development is actually really works.
Yeah, I love that. Now you've co-written so many best-selling books, and build companies, build coaches, build leaders. What's one leadership truth that keeps coming back to you over and over again?
Yeah, I mean, so I love to activate people to become liberators. And so the truth is your intent will either cause you to empower people or overpower people. And your lack of security, if you're not secure and confident and humble, then you'll have a tendency to overpower people to keep control, to make yourself look good, which will lead to your destruction. You won't receive the accolades that you really have always wanted. But if you're a leader worth following, then your intent will be for them more than it's for yourself. And by doing that, you'll empower people, not overpower them. And when you empower them, it will actually lead to them viewing you with ultimate influence, high reputation, and you'll end up becoming the person you've always wanted to become. So it's your intent. Are you for people or for yourself? And when you give it away, when you are for people consistently and they feel it and they see that you're working on yourself and you're fighting for their highest possible good, your influence will be so strong and so high that it's almost unstoppable.
I love that. Fighting for their highest possible good. That is the mark of a true leader. That has really resonated and stuck with me because a lot of times, you know, I have self-interest sometimes when I'm leading people. I have self-interest in a lot of areas, but if I can remember to have that narrow pathway fire and think, look, I'm trying to do the best for their best possible good, I think that makes a big difference.
Yep. That's right.
So what's next for you? What are you most excited about in this next season of work and mission?
So it's interesting because number one, I'm an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not as much of an operator. We have Mike Opadal and a team, a great team that can lead the business of what we created. I love to create. And so I love to create and I love to start. And then I love to partner with people to take them to the next level. So what I'm doing, Jim, is I realize that our vision is so big. Our vision is we wanted to raise up liberating leaders to change leadership culture in every city and sector in the world. But I realize it's so much bigger than one company. And so it's multiple enterprises doing that in multiple groups. So right now I'm working on initiatives. I'm working into sectors. I'm helping some of our sectors captains, like the Five Voices for Sales, for instance, and Five Voices for Families, and then taking the Five Voices into retail or military or those kind of education. So I'm helping and kind of encouraging and playing a role there. I'm also working on the next generation and going right after like 20 somethings, and then working in, you know, my son and I have a program called Six Summers that helps people, kids between 13 and 18, but it's for parents to train their kids. So it's the whole idea of building liberators in every city and sector. And I'm working on initiatives to do that. Some of them are sizable. Some of them are really, really, really big. And it'll be interesting. I've probably got another 4 to 6 months for those to matriculate and the people would know about them. But in the meantime, I have a book coming out in October. And it's book tour time and it's book launch time. So if you have a need, anyone out there is interested in either myself or even Jim to come speak, then, you know, both of us are speakers and we have just a skill to make these kind of things come alive. So
that's my world. That's great. Anything else? Any parting thoughts or any questions that I should have asked you that I didn't? Any thoughts that come to mind?
You know, no, I'm in this stage of life of lots of midlife review. I have a theory. If you do midlife review well, you won't have a midlife crisis. And so I'm in this process of understanding, like, where do I spend my time, energy, and effort, and what will move the needle to really change society and change the world. So for you out there who have the same kind of world-changing hunger, start with yourself. That's not selfishness. It's actually the core. Just keep working on knowing yourself to lead yourself. That's it.
Well, it's been a feast of information that you've shared, and I just really am grateful that you came on the podcast, Speaking with Authority. And I want to put a plug in for, first of all, the Voices in Oklahoma. If you get a chance, it's the 28th of September,
28th,
29th,
and 30th.
Oh, 29th and 30th.
That's right.
Man, see, I was testing you.
Yep.
So the 29th and 30th in Oklahoma City, yep. It's going to be a really good event. And then I want to put a plug in also for the certification. I've had a lot of certifications, but this Five Voices certification is really, really good. And I think it's not just a beneficial, you know, got that check mark, got that logo on my LinkedIn, but it's something that really gives you some skills that are transformational for a lot of organizations, people. It's great for coaches. It's great for consultants. It's great for HR directors. So I highly recommend that certification for you.
Love it. Jim, thank you, man. So good. It's great to be on your show.
My pleasure. My pleasure.